So, if we want to know about what it is like to be attracted to the sound of Krishna's flute, the only place that we can go to find that out is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes are described by Śrīla Śukadeva Goswami. And the six Goswamis who are our divine and intimate disciples of Lord Caitanya have all elaborated on this beautiful pastime of Krishna and Vrindavan. But tonight, I would like to come back to the Krishna book that Srila Prabhupada wrote in the early years when he had traveled to America with great difficulty and was now trying to teach Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the greatest treasure of Vedic India, to Westerners, Americans, English, Australians, and then Russian, Chinese, German. So many people of so many cultures all over the world. And Srila Prabhupada had their goodwill, their benefit in his mind as he was traveling and as he was writing. This is chapter 21 of the Krishna book called The Gopis Attracted by the
Flute.
With the arrival of the beautiful autumn season, the waters in the lakes and rivers became as clear as crystal and filled with fragrant lotus flowers. The breeze blew very pleasantly. At that time, Krishna entered the forest of Vrindavan with the cows and the
monkeys
and the cowherd boys. Krishna was very pleased with the atmosphere of the forest, where the flowers bloomed and bees hummed. Can anyone hum like a bee? The bees hummed very jubilantly. And while the birds and trees and plants were all looking very happy, Krishna tended the cows accompanied by Sri Balaram and the cowherd boys, and he began to vibrate his transcendental flute. After hearing the vibration of the flute of Krishna, the gopis in Vrindavan, and the gopis were at home in their family houses, doing their day-by-day household duties. They could not see with their external eyes what was going on in the forest, but in their hearts, they were meditating on Krishna, and they were seeing, according to their own love for Krishna, they were seeing what Krishna was doing. When they heard the flute, they talked amongst themselves. How nicely, they said, Krishna's playing the flute. When the gopis were describing the sweet vibration of Krishna's flute, they also remembered the their pastimes with him. And thus their minds became disturbed, and they were unable to clearly describe the transcendental vibration. Now the cowherd boys in the front have to be very quiet. Either way, they have to stand up and sing and dance for us all. While discussing the vibration of Krishna's flute, they remembered how Krishna dressed with a peacock feather on his head, just like a dancing actor. Who has seen a dancing actor? They're so proud, and they have the whole stage to themselves. And they're very, very, very excited and willing to dance and show off. Krishna has blue flowers pushed behind his ears. And his garments, they glow a yellow gold color. He wore a garland of Vijayanti flowers that went right down to his knees. And dressed in such an attractive way, Krishna filled up the halls of his flute with the nectar emanating from his lips. And thus they remembered him, entering the forest of Vrindavan, which is always glorified by the footprints of Krishna and his other companions. And do you know, in the forest of Vrindavan, no one will walk on Krishna's footprints. No one, no cows, no monkeys, no deer, no one. So you can see Krishna's footprints all over Vrindavan. Krishna is very expert at playing his flute. And the gopis were captivated. Yesterday we heard the word captivated, and we heard other words also, enchanted. Captivated, inside the word is the word captive, caught. So the gopis, by hearing Krishna's word,
please sit down, cowherd boys.
Dhruva, can you control your group and get them to sit quietly, please? If anyone wants to leave and go and sit somewhere else, you're most welcome to do that. And if you want to sit here, you're most welcome to sit here. I'm very happy to see you all. Krishna was very expert in playing the flute, and the gopis were captivated by the sound, which was attractive not only to them, but to all living creatures who heard it. One of the gopis told her friends, "The highest perfection of the eyes is to see Krishna and Balaram entering the forest with their friends." No, he's okay. Is he disturbing you? You can't concentrate? He's my friend. These are their gopas. You can't ask a gopa to leave unless he wants to leave. Don't worry, they're okay. You can stay. Or you can leave. Okay. The highest perfection of the eyes is to see Krishna and Balaram, along with their friends, entering into the forest and playing their flutes and tending the birds. Cows. Persons who are constantly engaged in the transcendental meditation of seeing Krishna internally and externally, by thinking of him playing the flute, the senses and all the activities of the senses in one particular object. And the gopis indicate that the pastimes of Krishna are the perfection of all meditation and samadhi. Another gopi expressed her opinion that Krishna and Balaram, while tending the cows, appeared just like actors going to play on a dramatic stage. Krishna was dressed in glowing. Can you imagine what glowing garments are like? Let me try to think. We think maybe there's a light underneath. Because we have no experience of something that's self-luminous. No electric light, no gimmick, no light shining from above, nothing. Krishna's garments glow. They're illuminating. And also his aura glows. So he's so extraordinarily beautiful. So they're thinking of him, Krishna entering onto the stage, dressed in glowing yellow garments, and Balaram dressed in glowing blue garments. And they're holding mango twigs in their hands. They are also holding peacock feathers and bunches of flowers. And they are dressed with garlands of beautiful flowers around their necks, lotus flowers. And sometimes they sing very sweetly amongst their friends. One gopi says to her friend, she says, one of the girls says, how is it that Krishna and Balaram are looking so beautiful? Another gopi says, my dear friends, we cannot even think of his bamboo flute. What sort of pious activities did it execute? So now it is enjoying the nectar of the lips of Krishna, which is our property. Sometimes these young gopis kissed Krishna, and therefore the nectar of his lips is available only to them. And now the gopis ask, how is it possible that this flute, which is nothing but a bamboo rod, is always engaged in enjoying the nectar of Krishna's lips? Because Krishna is kissing the flute and breathing. His air goes through the flute, and as Krishna moves his fingers delicately on the flute, exquisite sounds come from that flute. And sometimes Krishna rests on his own, he rests the flute like this, and sometimes he sits lying very upright. And he has different flutes. He has a venu, he has a vamsi, he has a murli. He has very long flutes that are meant for attracting one particular gopi. So they say, because the flute is engaged in the service of the Lord, the mother of the flute and the father of the flute must be very happy. Isn't it true, mothers and fathers, when you see your sons and your beautiful daughters serving Krishna, you feel very, very happy. Now, the lakes and the rivers are the mothers of the trees, because the trees live by the water that comes up, 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 because trees eat through their feet. Do you eat with your feet? Trees eat with their feet. The water goes up and it nourishes them. So the rivers and the lakes of Vrindavan were in such a happy mood. The water was happy. That's not like here in this world, when the water is not alive. And the spiritual world, the water is alive. The air is alive. Everything is alive to Krishna's pleasure. Everything, everybody is serving and loving and pleasing Krishna. So the beautiful blossoming flowers and the water were thinking, how is it that our son, the bamboo rod, is enjoying the nectar of Krishna's lips? Because the bamboo trees, they stand on the bank of the water, and so they're right there, and the waters are seeing that their descendant is so advanced in transcendental knowledge. Now another Gopi spoke. And do you know, now we've heard that who is very fortunate in Vrindavan? The flute is very fortunate. Who else is fortunate? Not only is fortunate, but who did we just hear is very fortunate and very happy in Vrindavan? The lakes and the rivers and the water is very fortunate. Now the gopis are thinking in their minds, and they see in their mind's eyes, they see the peacocks. Another gopi says, dear friend, our Vrindavan is proclaiming the glories of the entire earth because it is glorified by the footprints of the son of Devaki. And besides that, when Govinda plays his flute, the peacocks immediately become mad, as if they had heard the rumbling of a new cloud. And then, you know what the peacocks do? They spread their tails in the garden like this, and their side wings go underneath their tail, and they shake their side wings and they rustle with their side wings. Beautiful fanned tail is so wonderful, and they shake like this, and they turn this way and that way for Krishna's pleasure, and all their feathers are shaking. So when Krishna plays his flute, all the peacocks come running to that place, and they fan out their tails, and they dance for him. They dance and dance and shake their tails. Krishna plays his flute, and all the other animals come and they sit on the higher land around Giriraj, around Govardhan. And Krishna's dancing, and the peacocks are dancing, and everyone's so happy. And at the end, do you know what happens? The peacocks, as they again make their tails come down, they drop some feathers. Krishna says, look, they're appreciating my dancing so much that they're giving me a gift. And he picks up the peacock's feather and places it in his tail. Then Krishna looks extraordinary. Another gopi says, my dear friends, just look at the deer. Look at the deer. They're dumb animals. They can't speak, right? They're dumb. But they have approached the son of Nanda Maharaj. And not only are they attracted by the sound of his flute, but as soon as they hear his flute, the deer and the does together, the female and the male, they come running to where Krishna is playing his flute. And they look at him, and deers and does have beautiful soft eyes. And they look at him, and tears start to come down from their eyes. The gopis are very envious of the deer, because the deer are allowed to come and listen to Krishna along with their husbands. The gopis say, if we ran to see Krishna, our husbands would say, where are you going? So we are very unfortunate, but the deer are fortunate. Now every time the gopis meditate on somebody, some living being or some aspect of Vrindavan, they always feel that they're fortunate and we are so unfortunate. Why are we unfortunate? They say, because we cannot be with Krishna. But listen to their meditation. They're constantly thinking of Krishna. They're constantly with Krishna. But they feel we are so unfortunate. Everyone is fortunate, but we. Then the gopis think, and in their mind's eye, they imagine, they're picturing the demigods and the demigoddesses that come when Krishna plays his flute. Because the sound of his flute goes through the whole universe. And so when Krishna is present here on this earth, everybody can hear his flute. If we were here when he was here, we could hear his flute. But we are not so fortunate. So they say, look at the ladies in the aeroplanes up in the sky. Can you see them up in the sky? No. Because the cowherd boys can't see this. Only the gopis are seeing this in their own hearts. They say that the demigods are coming with their wives, and when they hear Krishna's flute, they lose all their balance and composure, and they start to shake, and their hair, which is all nicely braided and up, and all falls down, and their clothes start to become loose, and they become embarrassed because they're very attracted to the sound of Krishna's flute. Another gopi says, look at the cows. Look at the cows. Look at the cows. What are the cows doing when Krishna plays his flute? What are the cows doing? Do the cowherd boys know what the cows are doing? Flat. And they can turn their ears in all kinds of different ways to be able to hear things. Next time you look at a cow, you can observe this. It's very wonderful. They do all sorts of things with their ears because they haven't got any hands, only legs. So their ears are very clever. We have hands, so our ears stay still. The cows, they turn their ears upward so that the nectar of the sound of Krishna's flute falls into their ears. And where does it go when it goes in their ears? In their eardrum. And after their eardrum, then where does it go? Let's ask one of the old cowboy boys. Where does it go? It goes into their ears, into their eardrum, and then into their heart. Yes, very good. It goes right into their heart. And do you know what happens when that sound goes in their heart? Can you guess? Happiness, yes. Very good. A gopi is here. This is very good. Happiness. And what does that happiness come out as? Tears. See how old the gopis look. When you become very happy, then young girls, tears come. So the cows are motherly, and tears come from their eyes. And the little calves, who are just like cowherd boys,
When they are busy eating grass happily, like Luke said, when they hear the sound of Krishna's flute, they're so little. They just go, and they're stunned, and the grass is just falling out of their mouths. And they're stunned, because the sound is so beautiful. Then another young gopi tells her friend, she says, "My dear mother, the birds in the trees, there's the birds on the ground and there's the birds in the trees. So the birds who are all looking at Krishna as he plays his flute are sitting just like these boys. They're sitting very attentively. They're very attentive. You know, when somebody is listening very carefully, they don't move very much because they don't want to miss anything. So these birds are sitting on the branches of the trees, which are swaying backwards and forwards. They must have their little claws very tightly around the branch so they don't fall, because they go right out of consciousness. They say nothing. Some of them hide behind the leaves because they were munis in their last life. So they're yogis. They don't want to be seen by anyone. So they hide. Some of them go into the branches, so if they fall, they'll fall into another branch. But all of them are silent and listening with great concentration to the sound of Krishna's flute. Now, there's one special event to be done. Does anyone know the name of that event?
Yes?
Oh, you see the gopis win. Because this is the gopi singing. Sorry to the cowboys. Yes, very good. It's the Yamuna. Even the river Yamuna, being desirous of embracing the lotus feet of Krishna, hearing the sound of his flute, she broke her fierce waves. Has anyone ever seen the Yamuna River in the rainy season? Have you seen? Yes. When the waves come, sometimes they carry along with them whole big pieces of land, and sometimes watermelons, and sometimes big clusters of greenery flowing because the Yamuna is so fierce, moving, because there's a great quantity of water, and she floods her banks. She turns all the farmland into river. And on special occasions, have you seen the Yamuna flow by Madan Mohan? Yes, I've also seen. Sometimes she returns to her original bank, the original bed where she was when Krishna was present. And she flows very close to the township of Vrindavan. And sometimes she even floods the town. And people have water up to their knees, and no one ever complains. Never. It's most amazing, because the residents of Vrindavan, whether they're good people or bad people, whether they're materialistic or they're spiritual, they have something in their hearts to do with Krishna. Otherwise, he would never let them live there. So the river Yamuna is flowing very forcefully, but she starts flowing very, very softly. Because if she wants to embrace Krishna's feet, that means he has to step into the water, then she can swirl around his feet. So she starts to bring lotuses floating on her gentle waves, soft waves, hoping that she can offer them to Krishna, and Krishna will step into her water. Even the river Yamuna broke her fierce waves to flow very nicely, just to present flowers to the Kunda with deep feeling. Now, do we ever experience a river that has deep feeling? Practically speaking, we have the ever experienced deep feeling in the material world. Because we're surrounded, we're merged into so much dead matter. Even our body that flaps around sometimes, it's made of matter. You see this? It's also flapping around, but it's made of matter. And this is flapping because this is flapping. And this is flapping because there's a soul living in this body. And anyone who has seen a dead body knows that everything looks the same, but there's no more movement because the soul has left and gone somewhere else. Then the gopis think about the Pulindis. Remember we heard about the fruit lady, who is the Savara of Pulindi? Pulindis, Prabhupada uses the word aborigines, which is just to give us a little idea. But these native girls that live on Govardhan, and they live outside of the village, and they do all kinds of menial tasks, and they're not very pretty. They're usually rather big, and they have dark skin, not beautiful. White skin, golden skin, and they go here and there, and they hear about Krishna, and you would say they're low class. But they're not low class, because they also love Krishna. So the Pulindis are completely satisfied when they smear their faces and their breasts with the dust that has touched Krishna's feet. That dust is mixed with reddish kumkum. So Sukadeva Goswami explains to us that these Pulindi girls, they don't follow Vedic rituals, they're not, in, you could say, they're not so civilized. So they're a little lusty, and they're always interested in having some kind of embrace and so forth. But when their husbands or their lovers embrace them, they're not fully satisfied. But one day, when they're walking on the ground, if they hear the sound of Krishna's flute, and they see on the leaves of the trees of creepers a tiny bit of the powder that's come from Krishna's own feet, they rub that on their head and on their bodies, and they feel completely satisfied like never before. Now the gopis are meditating on this. They're seeing this in their minds. And they're thinking, those girls are so fortunate. And we are so unfortunate. We never get to see Krishna. But the kumkum on Krishna's feet came from the bodies of the gopis themselves. When they met with Krishna, they would sometimes place his feet in their heart. And they had kumkum decorations. And so when they placed Krishna's feet on their heart, kumkum from their bodies was transferred to Krishna's feet. But the gopis forget this in their life. And they say, the Pulindis are lucky. They're fortunate. They can be with Krishna. But we stay at home with our mother-in-law, do the household duties, and we never get to be Krishna. So then one of the gopis points to the most fortunate, the most auspicious devotee in all of Vrindavan. Does anyone know who that is? Yes, but who is the even more auspicious? But who's the very special devotee in Vrindavan? Most special. Yasoda, no? Giriraj, who's the Giriraj? Oh, one of the gopis. Giriraj, yes. Because Govardhan is so wonderful, Govardhan Hill. You know, some of the devotees here have been to our Govardhan retreats. They have the experience of what it is like at night to sit like this in a group and read about Krishna. And just on the other side of the wall is Giriraj. It's very extraordinary. And sometimes I tell the devotees, you should try to focus in your mind and imagine that that wall fell down. That we're all sitting right now by the side of Govardhan Hill that Krishna lifted with his own hand. He lifted like an umbrella with his left hand. This is Giriraj. Yes, let's see. Good. Yes, lifted like that. Yes, very much. Lucky boy. Yes. Now listen to how the gopis, the young gopis, praised Giriraj. One gopi began to praise the unique position of Govardhan Hill in this way. She said, how fortunate is this Govardhan Hill, for it is enjoying the association of Lord Krishna and Balaram, who are accustomed to walk on it. And Govardhan is always in touch with the feet of Krishna. Because Govardhan is so obliged to Krishna, it is supplying different kinds of fruits, roots, and herbs, as well as very pleasing, crystal clear water from his lakes. All these are presented to the Lord. So what is one thing that Govardhan presents to Krishna? Yes?
Love?
Yes. Playing place. A place to play. Well said. Who else? What else? Love. A place to play. 1 minute. We'll see if any of the older men have any ideas.
Mineral water.
Mineral water. What else? Grass. Grass for the cows.
Fruits.
Fruits. Fruits from the trees. What else? Flowers. Flowers to make beautiful garlands and put on Krishna's turban. What else? Monkeys. Caves. Caves for the monkeys. Caves for Krishna to play in and run away from the monkey. What else? What else?
Oxides to color the body.
Oh yes, good boy. Oxides to color the body. The beautiful cosmetics on Krishna. They're all coming from Govardhan as well. Yes, what else? Herbs for the animals. Yes, yes. The best presentation offered by Govardhan, however, is the newly grown grass for the cows and calves. Govardhan knows, and all of the things you said conclude this. Govardhan Hill knows how to please the Lord by pleasing his most beloved associates, the cows. Cowherd men, cowherd boys, cowherd girls, and everybody in the world. This is why Giriraj is considered the best. Of course, it is Srimati Radharani who is the best. Another gopi said, everything appears wonderful when Krishna and Balaram travel to the forest of Vrindavan, playing their flutes, and making friendship with all the moving and non-moving creatures. And when the moving creatures see Krishna, they become stunned. And when the non-moving creatures see Krishna, they start to tremble. Non-moving creatures means the trees and even the rocks start to tremble. And sometimes they melt like tears in the ecstasy. Krishna and Balaram carry, bind leading ropes on their shoulders and in their hands, just like ordinary cowherd boys. Now, what's a binding rope for? Who knows? What do you do with a binding rope? A cowherd boy. What does a gopher do with a binding rope? Yes?
Pulls the cows.
Could maybe pull the cows, but that's not the main thing.
Tug-of-war.
No. Tug-of-war, probably. It's because when the boys are milking the cows, they bind their hind legs so they can't run away. And the boys carry these ropes around their turbans sometimes, or over their shoulder. And Krishna's ropes are made out of golden colored silk. And they have pearl tassels in them. So the boys carry their ropes, and these ropes are not absent even from Krishna and Balaram. So in spite of his being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna and Balaram played exactly like the cowherd boys. And therefore, everything became wonderful and attractive. You can imagine if a very, very, very world-famous person, a person who we greatly admired, we thought they were really, really, really fantastic, if they came down to our level, if they were willing to come to our house and accept whatever we offered them, and we could give them any little gift that we wanted, it would be so endearing because they're so great and we're very humble. And that's just a tiny idea, but to speak of Krishna playing with boys like Dhruv. Krishna's playing with them. This is so sweet. So Srila Prabhupada finishes this chapter of the Bhagavad Gita by saying that while Krishna was tending the cows in the forest of Vrindavan and on Govardhan Hill, the gopis in the village were always absorbed in thoughts of him. And they discussed his different pastimes. Now Srila Prabhupada is going to say something to us. He's told us this wonderful, he's given us this description of Vrindavan, and now he wants to give us some advice. He says, this is the perfect example of Krishna consciousness. To somehow or another remain always engrossed in thoughts of Krishna. The vivid example is there, and Lord Chaitanya declared that no one can worship the Lord by any method that is better than that of the gopis. Constantly. Gopis were not born in very high-class families. They were not born in the families. They were born in the family of Vaishyas. And they were not in a big mercantile community, but they were in the family of gopas, cowherd men. They were not very well educated. They had no Vedic study. And although they had heard all sorts of learnings from the Brahmanas, the gopis' their only purpose, was to remain always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Gradually, quickly, but fortunately, we should try to follow